Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLB, TIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Thursday, the 29th of March, 2012. Good afternoon. I'm Dean Beck. Coming up today, we will speak to the newly appointed Festival Director of Midsummer 2013. Her name is Monique Thorpe. We'll chat to the former CEO of Midsummer, who was recently let go. Adam Lowe will join us live in the studio. We will chat to Deakin University about their Shag Week, Sexual Health and Guidance Week next week, and I'll be doing some live crosses for Joy next week for that. We will speak to Evan Cooper, who is the man behind the Commitment Project. Now, if you were going through Richmond's train station this morning, you may have noticed a new billboard that lined the station, highlighting the fact that people in our community can have long-term relationships too. Jason Gibbs, who is Joy's production manager, will join us to talk about Joy's Tech Drive Week. And if we get a chance, we will have a little look at a special that ABC News 2020 program did on the Tyler Clemente case. All that and lots more today on The Line. Of course, we want to know your feedback. We want your input to the program. Get in touch with us. Let us know your thoughts. This is how you do so.
Call Joy.
1300 Joy 949. SMS 0427 Joy 949. Email on air at joy.org.au. You want to make
Midsummer 2012 is well and truly over, but without a doubt, one of the most successful in recent years. Well, there's been a few changes at Midsummer. The chair of the organisation, Lisa Watts, announced earlier this week that the Adam Lowe Group will no longer be running Midsummer 2013. And one of the staffers of the Adam Lowe Group, Monique Thorpe, has been appointed festival director for 2013's festival. Monique Thorpe joins us on the line. Welcome.
Hi, Dean. How you doing?
Good, thank you. Congratulations on your appointment.
Oh, thank you.
What does it mean for Midsummer?
Midsummer, operationally, it doesn't mean that there will be a huge adjustment. Basically, all that's happened is that the division of carnival and festival is a little clearer. Carnival itself is a huge, huge undertaking, which will be carved out, hopefully, to Adam Lowe Group for 2013 Festival. And myself and a small team of interns will run the festival side of things.
Right. So you'll be curating the group of events over the course of the couple of weeks or so. And what you're suggesting is the Adam Lowe Group will be subcontracted to run Carnival Day. Is that the deal?
Yes, basically. Yep. So outwardly, there will be very little change. Adam Lowe Group does a fantastic job with Carnival, and they have done with Festival as well. As I was part of the team there, there really isn't too much of a change of who's managing what and what's going on and who's making the decisions.
How is this going to affect your sponsors? You've got some great relationships with the likes of IBM and Telstra these days. Mm-hmm. Will they be concerned that there has been changes?
I very much doubt it. I'll be talking to them all in the coming week. We've got a lot of acquittals coming up and reporting back to them and doing the debrief. So I'll be meeting with them over the next week or two and just having a chat with them. Everyone I've talked to so far, there's been no problem. Everyone's fairly fairly sure of what they want out of Midsummer, and that's not going to change.
You were a recent appointment with the Adam Lowe Group just prior to the 2012 festival. Your appointment as festival director now is it a controversial one that you've come from within the ranks?
Controversy. Oh, it's always controversy, isn't there? No, I don't think so. I think it's much nicer that it comes from within the team rather than someone externally coming in. And so maybe someone who hasn't worked with the festival before, not understanding what it's about and the community side of it. I think that Adam's instilled in me, as I already believed, very strong community values, and that'll be followed through.
Now, 2013, I believe, is the 25th year of Midsummer, am I right?
Yes, we're turning 25.
That's surely going to mean an extra special year from the festival's perspective.
Yeah.
As director, what do you hope to see for 2013?
We want to keep elevating the artistic rationale and the curatorial rationale of the festival and the programming within. Hopefully there'll be a couple of surprises, but as always, it's pending funding, so I don't want to talk about it too much.
Being an open festival means that generally you get a lot of crap thrown in as well. How are you going to filter that out in future years?
A lot of crap thrown in.
Well, I've got to say, with the greatest respect, there's a heap of crap in there. There's some great shows too, and, you know, they're well patronised. But you tend to get a lot of stuff that's pretty second rate as well.
we want to remain an open festival. We know that there was a little bit of a feeling of classes, I guess, in the premier event program last year. We're working on not getting rid of the premier event program, retaining it, but keeping it as a little bit more equal so that everyone feels like they're equally as publicised and equally as accessible to the public. We want to remain an open festival, basically. There'll be no, not in the foreseeable future anyway, no picking and choosing of who comes in and who doesn't.
Sounds like a little bit more crap ahead. hopefully some good stuff too.
Oh, of course, absolutely.
Okay. As a special year, as your 25th year, what are there any insights that you can give us as to what might be exciting?
Oh, I'm really awaiting myself.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're still in the report writing stages. We only wrapped up, it feels like a couple of weeks ago, but it's going on a couple of months now. so we're just taking submissions. If anyone has anything, they can, of course, get in touch with me. And hopefully in the next couple of months it'll start to take a real shape.
Fantastic. Well, congratulations on your appointment as Festival Director for 2013, and we look forward to some exciting times ahead for Midsummer 2013. Thanks very much, Monique Thorpe.
Thanks so much, Dean.
And I'd love to know your thoughts in regards to Midsummer's open arts policy. Are you sick and tired of seeing second-rate shows at Midsummer? Would you like to see some decent shows that perhaps are paid for, might cost a little more, but are indeed world-class? Get in touch with us. Up next, Adam Lowe, who is the former CEO of Midsummer. You are on the line with Dean Beck on Joy 94.9, joining us live in the studio, former CEO of Midsummer 2012, Adam Lowe. Thank you for joining us today.
Pleasure, Dean. Thanks for having me.
You've been given the flick.
Oh, sort of, kind of, not really. There's a level of mutual agreement about this that's not entirely the flick. Midsummer 2012 was the last festival within my contracted period that was due to end in May this year. And the board proposed a restructure that we've just heard Monique talking about, whereby they carve out or take back in-house, if you like, the festival administration and the day-to-day bits and pieces, and they leave the carnival and tea dance production to an outsourced company. And they're hoping very much to retain Adam Lowe Group to do the 2013 festival. And given that proposition, I had already been thinking about the end of my contract and what that would mean for me anyway. And I had thought that the 25th anniversary year would probably be a nice year to end on after I've been involved in five festivals now. So offering up if I was going to end, offering up an ending around the 25th anniversary was sort of logical. And so given the board made this proposition, it was sort of a, it was, there was somewhat of a mutual understanding around
making it. But you would have liked another year.
Yes and no. I mean, it's good for me in some ways, as much as it's good for Midsummer. I think perhaps one of the reasons why Midsummer chose to act now is that over the last 6 months of last year, I personally was overseas with international projects, the Rugby World Cup opening ceremony in New Zealand and the opening and closing ceremonies of the 12th Arab Games in the Middle East. And so perhaps they feel like my personal attention to things is now not as much as they want it to be. At the outset, 5 years ago, when I first got involved, the objective here was to consolidate, stabilise and find relevance for the festival. And I think we've achieved that in the time that we've been here. And I certainly have I've certainly got five more years of ideas for Midsummer Festival, if people want them. There's no doubt about that. I think there's a different future for Midsummer than perhaps some of the board members may choose to think. And maybe community might think there are different, you know, we're all going to have a different opinion about where Midsummer can go.
When you took on board Midsummer, this is public knowledge, I'm sure, but remind us, what was in the bank?
Well, when I first got involved, it was as a volunteer on the board in 2008, and I provided my major event experience as the director of major events on the board at that time for the 2008 festival, and Jared Hughes was still the chair. And over the 3 or 4 years prior to that and the 2008 festival, I think it had lost almost everything and there was nothing in the bank.
Right. How much is in the bank now after your 3 years of managing it under contract?
Well, I'm not completely aware today because I'm not...
You're not there.
I'm not there.
Right.
But...
this was a successful 2012, like, though.
Yeah, this... Well, the budget forecast for 2012 was always a break-even.
Right.
It was never going to be... You know, it's very hard to turn a large profit out of this event. It's practically impossible in some ways. So,
but you took back...
At least, I think, in the first year, we put $35,000 surplus on the books at the end of that year. We put... we might have put $25,000 in... the next one and the following one, I think there was a book loss, but we didn't carry some expenses forward and backwards and do various bits and pieces. But over the time, I think we've at least restored $50,000 to $60,000, and I know from time to time throughout the year the bank balance.
I guess my point is
over 100K when we've got money there earning interest at least, and at least the board are careful with that. They make sure that it's earning interest whenever they've got it.
My point is that in the time that you've been with Midsummer, you've rescued it from obscurity, you've saved it from financial ruin, and there is money now in the bank, and you've been rewarded by being sacked.
Well, thanks for your vote of confidence there, if that's what that is, or your compliments at least. And that's certainly what the board and I tried to do. We set out together with that mission in mind. And if at the end of a contract period for Adam Lowe Group, I'm not bitter and twisted about it, because what I do as Adam Lowe Group is exactly that. I have a raft of services that people can package up, that I can package up for people. People can buy a different combination of those services. That's what I do across the board for a multitude of clients. So for a client to change the level of services isn't necessarily a drama from my perspective. And at the moment, it sounds like I've done the right thing. I've been successful with what was the objective at the beginning.
I'd love to know what our listeners are thinking. SMS 0427 569 949. You can find the front desk and get a message through to us here in the studio, 1300 569 949. Or you can email direct to the studio on air at joy.org.au. This message has come through from Robert, who says, "Thank you, Dean, for saying what we are all thinking. Most of us anyway. Re the crap offerings that are put on under the banner of Midsummer's quality shows. The community will pay for decent stuff," Robert suggests. "And this one, you get what you pay for. Rufus Wainwright is a great example in attracting talent of international calibre. Midsummer could do well to get that sort of level." Now, I had a go at Monique, Adam, about the offerings of Midsummer's arts and cultural programme. After 25 years, I would have thought that we've evolved enough to get some half-decent shows on that are paid for either by Midsummer or by the community. Why is it that we are still getting these shows that are basically program fillers that leave us with a taste of second-rate crap. I mean, we're better than that. We deserve better.
It's hard to say. I mean, I think in Midsummer, in the history of Midsummer, there has previously been times, and there are life members who've been recognised for curating and bringing work up and creating work directly through Midsummer and funded by Midsummer through the various funding streams that there were. I would say that predates 2008. Mm-hmm. Anything prior to 2008, that was certainly the case. In 2007, the Brumby government awarded a $160,000 over 4-year funding plan for Midsummer that ended, that covered 8, 9, 10 and 11. And that funding was administered through a program called Annual Operations at Arts Victoria. That was not funding for program creation. Mm-hmm. It was funding for the operating costs of what was best described as an umbrella festival. And yes, in an umbrella festival, there's some crap and there's some good stuff. And I think Midsummer, I personally think Midsummer is, there is room for Midsummer to have the crap stuff, a more mediocre and a high quality layers of work within the festival, because
there
I do think
that
there
are festivals for people to get exposure.
Well, I'm going to take Edinburgh Festival as an example and the Edinburgh Fringe, yeah. Right? There's probably a lot of crap at the Edinburgh Fringe, but the Edinburgh Festival is fully curated, right? Mm. And these artists have to have somewhere to start, and that's what festivals are. Festivals, in some ways, are places where people who've got an idea need to learn and need to find mentors. And I know that what Arts Victoria have been trying to encourage is that mentorship program from those quality and cross-pollination, as they call it in all the fantastic buzzwords, by getting experienced artists together with less established artists so that there's a transfer of knowledge. And I think Midsummer is a place where that can happen. I don't think it is happening. And I think in the last year, coming into the 2012 festival, with the changes that we made to the Premier Events program, which had a lot to do with the artistic rationale observations of Cara Dinley at the time, that I was very happy with her observations, we tried to be more selective about the Premier Events program as a way of testing the water as to how we could go further. But I also think there's a level of resistance at the board level at the moment at Midsummer to go down this road, because there's probably still not enough money in the bank to back up Carnival Day on its own and producing an event.
This suggestion has come through on 0427 569 949. Maybe adopting a more corporate approach and having a public and private agreement, I am presuming between the artists, would be a better way of going forward. What do you think there?
I'm not quite sure what the person is suggesting.
Well, do you contract? You have an open forum, but you contract artists to deliver quality shows.
What I'm saying is, I think there is room at Midsummer in future for there to be a multiple levels.
Yeah.
All of the community event, what we used to call the community produced event program, which is the Open Umbrella Festival, all of those producers go on to a contract with Midsummer.
Monique Thorpe made reference to some what she called, a class structure for premier events this year. Some people feeling that the marketing behind their events was not sufficient. What are your thoughts regarding that?
Well, okay, I'll take that mistake on. I think I deliberately tried to back up Cara's artistic rationale and try to select premier events in 2012. And I deliberately tried to engage a publicist again, rather than having an in-house person where we had James Findlay working in-house 100% of the time in past years. Now, last festival we had JP Bolton at JPPR working externally to deliver PR for Midsummer. What I perhaps say I take the rap for, the communication was bad around what the premier event producers could expect. The Midsummer publicist was there to publicise Midsummer, mm. and to choose from the premier event program what was best to communicate to audience. The quality, the artistic quality, not the crap that Midsummer provides. So we were deliberately trying to market specific things. We were not providing a publicist to any single person who wanted it. And if you went to any of the other festivals in Melbourne and probably anywhere else, they wouldn't provide that either. You'd get a publicity pack and that would be it, and the rest would be your job. And perhaps I communicated that, or Midsummer communicated that, and it was my fault for letting that through, that communication wasn't clear, that's what that publicist was going to be about Midsummer.
Now, Monique also made reference to Adam Lowe Group perhaps being seconded for the execution of Carnival Day next year. What's stopping them from employing the services of SPK Events or Event Logistics or anyone else, not the Adam Lowe Group?
Nothing. There's no agreement in the termination here that there's any guarantee to Adam Lowe Group, and there's equally no guarantee to Midsummer. Through my discussions with Lisa, it was about the succession planning thing. It was always on my mind that Midsummer needed to improve its succession planning. So I don't disagree that the idea of coming from within the ranks and growing up the tree, growing up the ranks is a bad thing. I think that is a good thing at the moment in the small size of the thing. But in our discussion so far, the idea has been that ALG will produce Carnival 2013, and we will work out from there whether or not there's any need to think about future years and potentially put in place a request for quotation or an expression of interest process whereby future events the producers go through a selection process that I help the board create.
Your time at Midsummer, how would you wrap it up?
I don't think it's over, because as an independent producer, I think Midsummer Festival is a great time of year to be part of my community, and I will continue to do so, producing my own independent events within the festival as well as anything else. I love the festival. I love Melbourne. I love being queer. I've had the best time doing what I've had to do for the last 3 to 4 years with Midsummer, and I look forward to sticking around and not going anywhere as part of the queer community, and certainly as part of the arts community in Melbourne, I'm going nowhere.
Well, Adam Lowe, thank you very much for joining us today to share your side of the current situation at Midsummer. Congratulations on some excellent years. Thank you for bringing Midsummer back into our collective conscience in such a way that has clearly engaged the community like never before. Well, and it has been incremental over the years, and your help and with your staff and with the board support, you have created an amazing event and one we are all most proud of. So
well,
thank you.
Thank you. And thanks to the community for being as candid as they have been at the times that I've wanted to be, as honest about it. Keep it up. Tell us what you think, or tell Midsummer what you think all the time. Don't let your opinions go unheard.
We'll be back with more after this. You're with Dean Beck on the line. You're on the line with Dean Beck. Now, this coming Tuesday is a series of events being held at Deakin University. Joining us to discuss what's going on for Shag Week 2012 is Matt Turner. He's the Events and Activities Officer for Deakin. Matt, thanks for joining us on the line.
Hey, how are you?
Good, thank you. Shag Week, what's all that about?
Well, basically, it's a week that we use to raise awareness to students about sexual health and guidance and that surrounding a number of issues, being young adults, a lot of students and that, you know, first time out of home and whatnot. You know, they need a lot of guidance, and a lot of them won't know, you know, a lot about sexual health. And it's just one of the services that we run during the year, and that to, you know, help them, I guess, you know, overcome sort of some of these issues that might pop up. And you know, if they're aware of it early, then they can sort of nip it in the bud, so.
I guess part of it is about drawing attention to where they can find resources too, if they wish.
Yeah, exactly right. So we've got some stall holders coming on campus on Tuesday, a number of them, such as Headspace, Family Planning Victoria, Melbourne Sexual Health Clinic, plus some Deakin University divisions. So we've got some counsellors, some student life, and the Deakin Medical Centre and that coming on as well, just with some stalls and that, handing out some information packs and you know, free condoms and whatnot. Just, you know, raise that awareness and let them know where they can go for help.
Now, there's a range of activities throughout the day, kicking off at 10 a.m. at the Burwood campus. Tell us what's going to happen there.
So basically, we've got entertainment starting at 10 a.m. That goes through till 2 p.m. We've got some free lunch happening as well for juicer members. We've got a comedian called Adam Francis. He's coming on campus. He's going to do a bit of a routine from 12 to 12:30. And then we're going to have a debate with the nursing and mature age clubs. They're going to be going from 1 to 1:30. It's going to be a bit of an open forum, really. We're getting on the social media bandwagon on Twitter. We've set up a hashtag called Shag Week, so students can submit their questions and whatnot sort of anonymously, and we can get a bit of a vox pop happening and whatnot. So, you know, it's really exciting, and we're really all looking forward to it as well. And then on Tuesday night, we're having a bit of a party down in our bar at Einstein's, having a paint party down there, plus an after party. So, you know, it's going to be a big day. Everyone's really excited for it, so we're looking forward to it.
Sounds like a lot of fun. Yeah. Any worries that this might turn into one great big orgy?
No, I don't think so. We're going to have a lot of responsible people there, so I don't think there's any... Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen, even though the names might suggest.
Now, what does your role as Events and Activities Officer for Deakin really mean? What is it that you do?
Okay, so I'm actually on the Deakin University Student Association. So we are an independent body to Deakin. We are the student union, per se, I would say. What I do, I'm actually a voting board member. So I sort of do all the procedural stuff, but then I also organise weeks like Shag Week. We're going to be doing Education Week and Trimester 2. Plus, we do a lot of campaigns surrounding educational issues. Say, you know, Deakin want to put the price of parking up or whatnot. Like, we would run a campaign and that, and that's something that I'd oversee. So
you guys jump on board and make sure that all of the relevant protests are in place.
Yeah, exactly right. that's sort of our role, is to represent students, and I do so through awareness campaigns, events, and whatnot. And, you know, every student's going to let their hair down eventually, so we run sort of some parties and that as well. But we also do some trips and tours, so if they're interested in going to see the wineries or sort of going to Phillip Island, we'll run a tour on that as well.
Now, you'd be right in the middle of your current new intake, I would imagine. How many new students are at Deakin this year?
Oh, I couldn't tell you. They're sort of taking enrolments right up until the 31st of March. We don't actually have exact numbers yet. I know our O week was massive this year, bigger than most years, so it's really really looking good for Deakin, and in fact Juicer as well. Our membership is up a lot on last year, so yeah, no, it's looking really, really good.
Sounds like more parties ahead.
Yeah, I wouldn't say too many. We don't want to sort of get that sort of negative connotation attached to us, but you know, we look after the students and we sort of run what they want to happen, so... Yeah.
Now, I'm going to be there for Shag Week. I'm going to do a few live crosses on Tuesday for Joy 94.9. Looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Just a reminder, what are the details and what does Shag stand for again?
Sexual Health and Guidance Week.
And guidance.
Yeah, it's sort of more of a UK thing.
It's a great name.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. Our president, Tony Hawker, come up with that one. You know, it's going to be something that's going to be fun and engaging for students. And not as daunting as calling it, you know, Sexual Health Week. So, you know, it's really good, really snappy. We like it.
It's on at Burwood Campus from 10 a.m. this coming Tuesday.
Yep, and it goes all week until Thursday.
Fantastic. Yep. Matt Turner, Events and Activities Officer for Deakin University Student Association. Thank you so much for joining us on the line.
All right. Thank you, Dean.
Broadcasting throughout Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming live around the world at joy.org.au and podcast at joy.org.au. You're on the line with Dean Beck. Joining me now is Evan Cooper. He's the guy behind the Commitment Project's billboard at Richmond Station, which went up overnight. Evan, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Tell us how this came about and what describe the billboard for us first.
Well, the billboard has 25 images that I've been collecting of long-term gay and lesbian couples. This is the second one. I had one in Sydney last year and I've decided to put one in Melbourne this year.
Fantastic. And how did you go about compiling these? Where did you find these people?
I found these people all over Australia at this stage. I've sort of travelled all over, and a lot of, you know, social media and, you know, getting information out about the project, and people have contacted me, and I've sort of travelled around, found them, photographed them, and there they are. So there's also a website, so there's more people on the website.
And I believe the idea is to draw the attention to the masses that we, as gays and lesbians, can have long-term relationships too.
That's, yeah, one of the messages. It's to break that stereotype that people think that we aren't able to have that. And that was the personal reason, because I wanted to know if I would ever be able to achieve a relationship like either of my grandparents had. And I didn't know any people in long-term relationships, so I went out looking for it. But yeah, now it also just shows the diversity of people, the cultural backgrounds, the religious backgrounds, you know, education, the looks, everything. It sort of breaks a whole bunch of stereotypes.
Can I ask you a personal question?
Yes.
Are you in a relationship?
No, I am completely and utterly single right at the moment.
Still looking.
Still looking. And in the 2 years I've been doing the project, I've managed to have and break up with two different boyfriends.
Ah, well, all the better for trying, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm giving it a good crack.
good for you. Evan Cooper, how did you pay for this little indulgence?
The way I paid for both of the billboards was I used a crowdfunding website called Possible, and I sort of put out there that how much it was going to cost, and everyone pledged money towards it. You know, some people, organisations sponsored the billboard. I put some money towards it, and then a lot of, you know, people that I have no idea who they are just sort of gave money so it would be erected in Richmond train station.
How wonderful.
It's been pretty amazing, the response. Like, yes, there's been one major benefactor who I don't know who that person is. They just gave a lot of money.
Oh, isn't that great? And it's kind of warm and fuzzy that you don't know who it is. Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite lovely that someone's done it, not because they know me, but because they believe in the actual project.
Well, unlike certain stunts, this is very much a community expression of commitment, and we should draw the attention to our listener too that there's only a few days left for submissions to the Senate Inquiry's marriage equality expose. So you need to go to the Australian Marriage Equality website for more information on how you can contribute to that Senate inquiry, because we need more submissions if you want equal marriage rights. So Evan Cooper, you've done your little bit. Congratulations. Thank you very much for joining us today, and thank you very much for putting together such an amazing project. Well done.
Thank you. It's as much inspiring to me as it is hopefully to everyone else. It's been an awesome experience.
Keep up the great work. Evan Cooper there joining us on the line.
Call Joy. 1300 Joy 949. SMS 0427 Joy 949. Email onair@joy.org.au.
You want a mail? Okay. You're on the line with Dean Beck. Now, the story of Tyler Clemente is a rather sad and tragic one. He is the young guy who sadly took his own life in the US around the same time as the It's Get Better project was being launched. Now, ABC News America's 2020 program did a special, and the anchor of 2020, Chris Coleman, appeared on Good Morning America to discuss it further. This is his little profile on a rather tragic story.
When Tyler Clemente jumped off the George Washington Bridge in September 2010, it made immediate headlines. His suicide came on the heels of his roommate Darun Ravi using a webcam to spy on an intimate encounter between Clemente and another man, and later inviting others to watch a second date. Authorities called Ravi's actions hateful.
We've reached a verdict on all charges.
And last week, a jury agreed, convicting the now 20-year-old Ravi of bias intimidation, invasion of privacy, and evidence tampering for deleting and altering incriminating messages. But Darun Ravi told me he's not the monster he's been painted as and did not have a problem with his roommate being gay.
Did you want to intimidate him, frighten him?
No.
Did you record him having sex?
No.
Did you out Tyler Clemente?
No. I know I didn't, because he brought a guy over in front and then he walked him in He went into the room, closed it. The guy comes out in an hour. There's people in the lounge. Everyone sees it happening. So I figure, you know what? He doesn't care. He's okay with it.
Ravi says he does have regrets, and he did things that were wrong.
People will watch this. This is the first time they see you, they hear you. What do you want them to know about you?
I want them to know that, you know, I was 18, I was stupid. I was just like a dumb kid not thinking about anything.
Ravi turned down a plea deal that offered no jail time because he refused to admit he was guilty of a hate crime. He maintains he never bullied Tyler.
Do you think you misunderstood how fragile he was?
I really don't think he was very fragile. I think he just didn't like talking to people. That's the only thing I got from him. I don't think, you know, just because he's gay doesn't mean he's automatically fragile and can't deal with anything.
How could he not be fragile and have jumped off the George Washington Bridge?
Something
had to be very wrong, right?
Something had to be very wrong.
But Ravi insists whatever Tyler was going through started before they ever met. Still, one of his regrets is that he isn't sure whether Tyler Clementi ever read the apology he sent before taking his life.
To this day, I just say, you know what? I'll just think he read it, and he got it, and I'm just going to accept that as that's what happened. And that helps me deal with it.
The case is far from over. The controversy it surrounds bullying in this country, we're just beginning to understand how to stop it. We do expect that sentencing will be sometime in May. Not sure what's going to happen. Most say they don't want too much jail time. Darun Ravi is an Indian national. What does that mean? After he serves his time, he'll go through a deportation hearing, and it's almost certain he would be deported.
And he could serve up to 10 years? Is that the maximum
sentence? He could. Very little chance he gets that much time.
Chris, so many people believe that this case went beyond the facts, that a clear message was trying to be sent here.
The agony in this situation for the families involved, for people like you who fight for victims' rights, is that we need a message about bullying. It's pervasive. So many kids take their own lives, get hurt. Then this case comes. Finally, we get that message. The question is it the right case? Is this the vehicle to let people know nothing like this can ever happen again? It's tricky. There are no winners here.
And to let people know that it does get better, which was the campaign that came out of it. What were your impressions of this young man?
He's young. He's struggling with what did I do versus what was done to me. What does he really understand about who this kid Tyler Clementi? I don't know. But he's in a horrible situation, and he's going to pay a price that nobody else has yet. This is a very big deal, this case.
2020 program anchor Chris Coleman there. Like he said, a very sad case all around. Hopefully, one we can all learn from. You are on the line with Dean Beck. Now, if you've been listening to Joy 94.9 over the last week or so, you'll know that we're in the middle of our tech drive for 2012. What does that mean? Well, I have asked Jason Gibbs to join us. He is in charge of production here at Joy. And Jason, why are we doing a tech drive?
Why are we doing a tech drive? Because technology isn't always reliable. Things break down. There's always a need for new technology. And if we leave things too long, Dean, we run into lots of problems.
This is to basically tart up your little box.
Tart up my box.
Yes.
Nice way of referring to it. Thank you. You really put me on the spot there. We basically have four studios here at Joy 94.9 for those that aren't aware. We have three production booths that are completely, three studios that are completely decked out, which means they are of a broadcast quality. And ironically, the fourth studio, which is our production booth, is not of broadcast quality. That also means that it's not really at the point where it's of the best quality when we're producing sponsorship announcements, Joy promos, and especially community service announcements.
That creates the sound of the station, really, doesn't it? I mean, those things really are the, if you like, the colour of the shows and the colour between the shows.
I guess there's certain things that glue everything together on Joy. It might be our music during daytimes, our overall sort of ways to approach things on air, our Joy 94.9 IDs and things that we play during shows at the end and the beginning of each break. And they are, they're all recorded here and produced voice in that particular production booth.
Let's have a little example of what it is that you do.
Melbourne's biggest gay voice has a fresh new sound.
Fresh new sound.
Joy 94.9.
That is Jason's work at its finest and a good example of the colour we're talking about when it comes to production. What is it that you're looking for from the tech drive? Because we're soundproofing that booth, but there's more than that, isn't there?
It's especially important that soundproofing is installed in that studio. It is the only booth, the recording booth that we have at Joy that isn't soundproof, which means it's really quite difficult for those that are presenting programs in Studio 3 right next door, and also for myself trying to get a good quality when it comes to recording voiceovers when things are happening on air. For instance, just before, there was a lovely person on air doing a live song, and that came right through for quite a period of time while I was trying to record a voiceover with the wonderful Doug Pollard. So it will really limit those difficulties and make things run a bit more smoother. And at the end of the day, we've got X amount of time to be able to produce things at Joy as everyone else does in their job. And it's really important to try and run smoothly and get things done as quick as possible.
And the other beneficiary of having a A1 production booth is our community organisations. Our CSAs are vital to connecting to our community and spruiking all of the organisations that we have.
That's it. We are a community radio station, and it's our objective to be a voice for the gay and lesbian community. And one way we do that is through our community service announcement service. And we've got quite a lot of different community organisations that are involved through those community service announcements, some that have actually gotten off the ground purely by having that CSA on Joy as a start-off point. And it's really exciting to see those groups that have grown.
And many of them have had huge success purely by getting free airtime here on Joy.
I think so. And I think I underestimate what it does mean to these groups. We get a lot of wonderful emails back on a regular occurrence, people saying how amazed they are and how thankful they are for having this service provided to them. So we really do try to get around as much as possible and offer that service to as many groups as possible. It's nice to see that they still keep coming through thick and fast.
Our target is $15,000 to get that production booth up and running and to be the best it can possibly be. We've only got one more day to go, and we've got a long way to go to reach that target. So please, if you have a few extra dollars, anything more than $2 is tax deductible, you can donate right now by calling 1-300-569-949 and make a donation with your credit card and contribute to Joy's Tech Drive 2012. You can also donate online, and if you head to Joy's website, joy.org.au, you'll find out more. Just click on the Tech Drive banner.
Or maybe come up with your cash, and while you're here,
turn up to the front door.
I'll probably grab you for a voiceover while you're here, because that's how I roll.
Level 9, 225 Bourke Street is where we're at. Jason Gibbs, production manager here at Joy 94.9. Thank you so much for joining us on the line.
Thank you, Mr. Beck.
You're on the line with Dean Beck. Time to pretty much wrap it up. Huge thanks to Monique Thorpe, the new festival director of Midsummer 2013. Big thanks to Adam Lowe, former CEO of Midsummer. And congratulations on all the fine work that you and your team have done over the years, Adam. Your community thanks you. Shag Week is on at Deakin University. It starts next Tuesday. I'll be there to cover it for Joy 94.9. Looking forward to that. It's all about sexual health and guidance. And thank you to Jason Gibbs for telling us exactly why we need more money from you. Joy's production booth can only deliver the best sound and best quality community service announcements if it gets a little bit of an upgrade. And we have managed to do an extraordinary job with very, very little to this point. And it's time now for us to take it to that next level. So please make a donation to Joy 94.9. Simply call 1-300-569-949 right now with your credit card and contribute any amount of money. Any contribution will be most welcome. Anything over $2 is tax deductible too. You can also make a donation online. Go to Joy's website, joy.org.au, for more information. Tonight, on Hide and Seek. I'll be joined by Andrew the Apprentice. And we're going to have a chat to Rob Cam from Vic Bears. We'll also be joined right here by Adam Richard. Larger than life and a very, very funny man, Adam Richard will be joining us tonight on Hide and Seek. So looking forward to that one. Thank you very much for joining me, Dean Beck, today on the line. You can follow me on Twitter at Dean Beck on Air. Till next time, keep well. Take care. Bye for now.
Joy 94.9.
Hi, I'm Kylie Minogue, also known as Kylie from Camberwell.
Hey, it's Richard Reed.
Hey, this is Winter Gordon.
Hi, Matt Preston from MasterChef.
What's up, party people? It's the legendary DJ Spinderella.
Hey there, I'm Adam Lambert.
Hello, this is Kate Sobrano.
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm Alex Sonderberg. This is Katie Noonan.
Hi, this is Francois Sagatz.
Hello, this is Katie Lang.
G'day, I'm Barry Bissell.
Hello, this is Tina Arena.
Hi, this is Paris Wells.
Hi, I'm Cindy Lauper.
Hi, this is Tim Campbell.
Hi, this is Sear.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Morosi.
Hey, I'm Darren Hayes.
Hi, I'm Jade Leonard.
Hi, I'm Shaka Khan.
Hi, this is Kathy Freeman.
Hi, I'm Daniel Kowalski.
Hey, this is Jane Lynch, and you're listening to Australia's gay and lesbian radio station.
Hey, everybody, this is Chris Willis.
Put your hands up
for Australia's first gay and lesbian radio station.
All night and day long, Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9. That was my best radio voice.
Joy 94.9 is a GLB TIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.